Well, I don't know if you know it, but it's been a special morning already this morning. Had all three sisters and Hope. Huh? Is that good stuff or what? How about give them a round of applause? Three nickel sisters. Always tease them. I like to say we got the whole 15 cents, so that's my joke for today. Got a little quick clip I'd like to show you. If we go ahead and cue that up, Kim.
But Jesus says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. And so Jesus wants us to bear fruit. Fruit for the Father's glory. Fruit that is going to honor Him. Fruit, similarly here, Jesus wants us to be connected to Him for sinners. And then God calls us to get out of the hospital. Listen, God calls us to get out of the hospital and become an army. But you have to cooperate with Him. Importantly, when you come to church, you're getting fed the Word of God. Spiritual sap is coming into your life through the Word. You and I must be raised with Christ. Have you been raised with Christ? Do you know for certain that you have been forgiven of your sins because you've put your faith in Christ? You've put your all of commitment and faith into Him. If not, do it today. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Put your faith in Christ. Then, the Scripture here says, when you have done that, when you have been forgiven and put your faith in Christ, then you are raised into new life. The Holy Spirit comes in, and you are raised out of the old life. You are raised out of sin and death and trespasses. You are raised here into new life. And they're going to push them forward. Listen, you and I need the yoke of Jesus in our lives. Some of you are trying to live this life without Jesus' yoke, and you think you're free, but you're not. You still have your yoke on you. You're still bound up with whatever it is that the sin has yoked you in your life. And there is only freedom in the yoke of Christ. And so the writer here says, hold unswervingly to your faith. What does that mean? We read this in verse 23. Hold unswervingly. This word means to hold fast. To retain it. It means to seize upon it and not let it go. It's kind of the idea that it's something of great value and I'm going to hold on to this thing and you're not taking it from me. You know what? Sometimes we need to develop that kind of a mentality. Sort of a battle mentality that, you know what? My faith in Christ is the most important thing in my life, and no one's taken it from me. And so when you and I come to Christ, we receive His presence into our life through the Holy Spirit who comes to indwell us. And so God says, come near, draw near, visit with me. But Jesus says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. And so Jesus wants us to bear fruit. Fruit for the Father's glory. Fruit that is going to honor Him. Fruit, similarly here, Jesus wants us to be connected to Him for sinners. And then God calls us to get out of the hospital. Listen, God calls us to get out of the hospital and become an army. But you have to cooperate with Him.
Okay, if we could have 2 Timothy up and have a reading. If you all stand for the reading of God's Word. So I'll read this together. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. You may be seated. Why does anyone like Pastor Tom, come up here week after week after week and preach the gospel. Yet this morning, men all around the country with the same type of heart are talking to their congregations and week in and week out, delivering the truth of the gospel. The unfortunate concern that we have in our culture is that even though the truth is being preached, I'm not sure it's really being heard. You know, the country that gave us instant tea, instant coffee, also gave us something called instant Christianity. And we're suffering. We're suffering in our nation, we're suffering in our communities, and we're suffering in our churches because of something that we now can look upon and name as instant Christianity. See, instant Christianity takes care of the past. All your sins are forgiven. And it guarantees your future. But then it allows us to wander around and indulge in the more refined lusts of the world without any restraint or very little restraint. See, it doesn't seem to be much in between. Unfortunately, instant Christianity leads to one of two places for most of us, and that is either it leaves us in a position of non-expectation. We don't really expect anything from God. You see, there's the past and the future, and we're kind of living in between, and we'll get the one or we'll dismiss the other, but we don't have any great expectations of God. Or other people get disillusioned altogether with Christianity because they don't see the power in it. It's not working. There's no need in instant Christianity. There's no perceived need to watch, to pray, to fight. We have no sense of duty. And we just wander around this world enjoying this life, waiting for the next one to come. That's kind of where we are. And we're suffering because of it. We're suffering in our culture because of it. So why does Pastor Tom come up here week after week and preach? It's not so that one of you can walk up to him afterwards and pat him on the back and say, great message today, preach. It's not the reason. How many sermons do you think you've heard? Better yet, how many sermons have actually impacted you and changed your life? You see, we got preachers all across our nation leaving the pulpit in disillusionment because they don't see the power. Preaching God's Word, those clips are living proof that Pastor Tom preaches the Word of God in this church. There's not one clip in there that doesn't have the gospel in it. And the gospel has a power of its own if we yield ourselves to it. But it's time that we reflect on where we are. Matter of fact, if you're a note taker, this morning I'm going to ask you to lay your pens down. I don't have anything wrong with taking notes. I take them all the time. Let me tell you what the problem that I run into in taking notes. I'll go back and read those notes sometimes, and it doesn't have the same impact as when I wrote it down. Right? Anybody ever experienced that? I mean, maybe God had a little revelation moment there with me, so I got to write that down. And then I waited 2 weeks and I read it and go, well, that's pretty good, but the moment has passed. Or you never read them at all. You see, the things you hear and the things you write down will not change you. The thing that will change you is what you think. So I'd like to challenge each and every one of us today to start right now, each Sunday. Grab something from the Lord. Grab one thing that you can meditate on and think about it, because the only way you will ever change and I will ever change is that we will yield our thought processes to a holy God who wants to talk to us through His Scripture. Note-taking's fine. Don't go around telling everybody I hate people that make notes. I take notes all the time. I got notes here in the back of my Bible. I still haven't read them. I'm just trying to say we're at a wake-up moment. We can go on like this. We can go on like this week after week after week, and Pastor Tom can spend hours and hours and hours, and he can preach the gospel to us, and we can hear it. But you know what? If we don't submit to it, it's just words that roll off of us. It's no life-changing power in there. So as we reflect on our surroundings, well, what is it that we're trying to do in our life? I mean, some people want to chase things in this life. Let's see, if you're an instant Christian, and you've taken care of your salvation, So we can chase things, or we can become workaholics. Some people medicate by drinking too much or eating too much. Some people are just into being lazy. You can make a god out of anything. Some people have jealousy problems. Other people have apathy problems. Most people have pride problems. But what are we going to do about it? You see, the answer is basically this. Nothing works. Back in the early 80s, I went to a seminar. Anybody ever hear of a man called Charlie Tremendous Jones? Probably not one in here, right? He's kind of going now, but he used to travel around and speak to secular audiences, but he was a Christian man, and I remember about 200 of us went to see him one day speak. And when he got up, he said, "I'm here to tell you the answer to all things. Nothing works." I said, "You got to be kidding. I got tapes and books, and I've been studying, and I'm trying to be a success. And this guy's getting paid to tell me that nothing works." I'm not sure I ever really understood what he was talking about that day, because I was so disillusioned at the fact that he could get paid for telling somebody that nothing works. That's the big thing. That's the latest deal. But the fact of it is, if you think you've got life mapped out and you've got this picture of where it's gone, and gee, you know, if you ever had that feeling, if you could just get by that next thing, that next little trouble that's in your life, you just don't have any peace over this, we could just get this relationship worked out. If I could just get beyond this sickness that I've got, if I could just have my children pay more attention to what I'm trying to tell them, if I could just, you know, as soon as I get all that done, man, life's going to be great. Anybody ever get there? You don't get there because guess what? Nothing works. You see, you can't see the stuff and the junk that's coming down the road. You're focused on the junk that's in front of you. And as we focus on that stuff, we think that that's all there is. We just get this thing out of the way, and then there won't be any more. Well, I know I'm old enough now to know that that's a myth. The stuff just keeps coming. Life just keeps getting more complicated, and I keep getting older. And that brings its own baggage of stuff, I'm going to tell you. Let's take a look at, if you can pull up Matthew 5 for me for a minute. I want us to understand that instant Christianity, what has been promoted in our culture, what we have bought into, is not the Christianity of the New Testament. The Christianity of the New Testament is going to sound a whole lot more harsh, okay? But there is a good side to it, so don't get desperate about it. But let me try to make a distinction here this morning. But I want to look here at the Beatitudes for a minute. Who's blessed? Who does Jesus say is blessed? The poor in spirit, okay? Those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, go back to the first verse again, if you will. That doesn't make, really, let's be honest, we start looking at the New Testament, we start looking at the standards that Jesus has set. Not really appealing from a fleshly standpoint until we start to understand, until he starts to shine some light on it for us. Because watch what happens here. What happens, what's the reward for those who are poor in spirit? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. And those who hunger and thirst in righteousness, they'll be filled. The merciful will be shown mercy, and the pure of heart will see God. The peacemakers, they will be called sons of God. And those who are persecuted because of righteousness, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, there are promises with every standard. But here's what we need to understand. Jesus set a standard that you can't make happen in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't get there. Nothing you do will work. Your best isn't ever going to be good enough, because it is Jesus Christ who will do these things in you and I as we surrender to Him. It's by His power that it works. We've got nothing. You see, the world tells you you need to have stuff. God tells you, says you need to be impoverished. Now, I want to explain the difference here. I'm not saying that if you have some things that God didn't say, that you can't enjoy some things in this life. Pastor Tom quoted a verse out of Timothy last week that said that. There's a difference, though, how you own things and what purpose it is that you're trying to chase things. You see, an impoverished spirit says to God, everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that is about me belongs to you. It's all yours. I've got nothing to say about any of it. If I have something, I'm the manager of it because it belongs to you. It's not mine. We got to start bringing, when I was talking about thinking, you know, it says take every thought captive. In the beginning of Romans, it says present ourselves a living sacrifice. And in verse 2, it says be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're living in a society today that doesn't think. Thinking is becoming a lost art. If you don't believe me, read Facebook. I got to be honest with you. Somebody takes a picture of their meal and sticks it on Facebook, I'm just really not all that deeply impressed. But that's where we're headed. We're living in such a fast-paced world that the enemy wants to keep us thinking. Literally doesn't want us to think about God. God says, meditate on my word day and night. Pray constantly. You see, the standard is high for a Christian. The standard is very high. Let's take a look at Galatians 5, 19 to 26. I think Randy Denny's going to read that for us.
The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live this way will not inherit the kingdom of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Fruit of the Spirit. If we say nothing works, well, before we can really say nothing works, we got to know what the goal is. What's the goal of life? For a Christian, for a true Christian, the goal of life is to be a disciple. Can you put the fruit of the Spirit back up? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. We can't, you don't get to, back up to the other verse. Witchcraft, some of these things we don't identify with. There's things in here we all ought to be able to identify. Factions, dissensions, jealousies, things like that. You don't get to mix and match. You see, the fruit of the Spirit comes as a whole package. You're either in it, experiencing it, or you're not. And, hey, we fall out of it. Don't get me wrong. Look, I'm not telling you this stuff's easy. You know, this is why it takes us submission. This is why we have to think. This is why we have to read the Scriptures. This is why we got to make an effort. We got to constantly make an effort. You know, because, you know, you can go to bed full of the Spirit and wake up full of yourself. That's just the way it works. That's our problem. That's what Romans 7 was all about, the conflict of the two natures. We have two natures, and they war at us inside. Unfortunately, a lot of us are losing the war. So you can't have jealousy in your life and have love, joy, peace. You know, they can't occupy your heart at the same time. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So we need to have and develop some habits that are spiritual that will see us through. We need to make an effort. We need to grab hold of this thing and say, this is so important. Lord, that first song, that Jeff, the first one you picked this morning, it said it all. I lay me down. Lay me down. I belong to you. We couldn't have picked a better song for this message. You see, you and I have to make a conscious decision. There is something that you and I have to do, because God is not going to force himself on you. Jesus is not going to do this thing in your life. He's not going to make you a disciple if you're going to resist, if you don't lay yourself down, if you don't surrender to him. It's not instant Christianity. It's a tough walk. Let's take a look at the next reading. Matthew 16, beginning of the 24th verse. And Colby's going to read that, and he's going to read one and stop for me.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
That's it. That's the message point. We have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Jesus said that. You see, one of the problems we have in our culture with instant Christianity is we've taken the cross and made a thing of beauty out of it. Now watch what I'm saying here. I don't want to offend anybody, but I want you to understand. We've made jewelry out of it. We've made a trinket out of it. We've made ornament out of it. We made a symbol out of it. But there's nothing beautiful about the cross. The cross is an instrument of death. What God did on the cross is a beautiful thing. You see, the more we beautify the cross, the less power it seems to have. Because the Romans used the cross to get rid of people they didn't care for, didn't fit in their society, didn't follow their rules. And when they got rid of somebody, then it impacted the rest of the people because they didn't want to end up that way either. And they took Jesus to the cross and got rid of him for the same reason. Jesus says you must deny yourself and take up your cross. Your cross is different than the wooden structured cross. It's a spiritual cross. It's a cross that you and I have to deny ourselves and submit ourselves and give ourselves over to a holy God because he's worthy. He did it all. You see, then the cross has power. The cross is still an implement of death. It's the death of yourself. You and I have to die to self. The problem with instant Christianity is we think we get saved and that's all there is. And it's not true. It's a myth. It doesn't work. We need to become disciples of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. God left his church here so that we could impact our neighbors, Ashley, that we can impact our community, that we can impact our country. You know, this country was formed on those principles and has now turned its back on the cross of Jesus Christ. And until we take up our cross, you see, there's a responsibility. Why does Pastor Tom preach? Because he's called to do it. That's his calling in life. He's a pastor. He was called to be a pastor. He loves the Word. He loves Jesus, and he loves you. And he'll stand up here, and he will say the things of the gospel week after week after week. Whether you take it in and digest it or not, he will still do it because that's his calling. And each one of us have a calling, a similar calling. Our giftedness may not be the same one. We all have different gifts, but we have a responsibility. His responsibility is to preach, and your responsibility is to hear. Your responsibility is, you and I need to sit here and listen and digest the truth of the gospel and ask God what he wants to say to us and apply it to our own lives. We have a responsibility. Not just to walk in here week after week after week and say, nice show. We got to wake up. Now, this sounds a little harsh, I know, but you know what? The good stuff only comes with the harsh stuff first. Okay, Colby, you finish that off.
For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it for a man who gains the whole world if he forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for a soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done.
Thank you, Colby. You've got to lose your life to find it. What does that mean? First time I got a glimpse of the meaning of that one, it kind of scared me because I kind of liked what I was doing. I kind of liked the life I was living. I kind of liked the things that I had. I kind of liked the pursuits that I wanted. But I started getting an inkling that that's not what the verse meant. The verse meant that I needed to change my attitude towards chasing money, chasing stuff, chasing this world, because it doesn't work. And I know, I've lived with, like the verse that Paul says, I've lived with little, I've lived with a lot. Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You see, there's nothing more important than your faith. There comes a day of reckoning. I think the last verse, according to every person's deeds. I had a friend of mine a few years ago that developed cancer. And as Pat and I were down at Ocean City, the car show, and she called us over and said, you know, my husband's got cancer. And he was sitting in his hot rod, and I walked around, I leaned in the window, was talking to him. And I will never, ever forget the regret on that man's face when he looked at me and he said, Roger, I smoked for 42 years, and now I wish I hadn't done it. Total regret. There's a day of reckoning coming for all of us. We're going to be reckoned according to the life that we live here. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand there and do it in regret. I'd rather hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, and you don't get here easily. None of us do. We're all a work in progress. We all have a next step. 2 Peter 1. Do we have that one on the screen? His divine power has been given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Okay, He has given us the power. It is His divine character, His divine nature that He has instilled inside of us, and we need to learn how to access it. You see, Jesus was obedient in redemption. He was obedient in redemption because He was the Son of God, not because He wanted to become the Son of God. You and I need to take this step because we are children of God. You see, the power flows from the relationship. Jesus had a relationship with the Father. And Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. The power flows from that relationship. And we toss that word around. We toss that personal relationship with Jesus Christ around, and we say it, but oftentimes we don't really grasp what that means. In that relationship, God provides and protects and rescues and restores us. Instant Christians want all that at one time. I got a problem I want to fix right now. Microwave it for me, Lord. I need it to go. Listen, I want to give you a personal, real quick personal testimony, and I saved this for now because I wanted to thank all of you for prayers of my recent illness. I'm a man who's been healthy all my life. I've had very little problems with health. Back in February, some things started happening to me, and I link them all together, whether they were all together or not, I don't know, but I ended up being diagnosed with atrial fibrillation called AFib. AFib's when one half of your heart decides it wants to march to a different drummer than the other half, and it's out of sync. Some people have it, don't know they've got it. I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing because it can cause a stroke. Other people have it. They're in it all the time. Some people have it. They slip in and out. Everybody's different, but mine was constant. Mine, I had it. Once I got it, I had it. That was it. Took a while for them to diagnose it. Went through two cardiologists. That stretched everything out. I got on the pharmaceutical roller coaster. If anybody around here knows what that's like. You ever see the ads? Take this. It'll cure this. And we'll give you seven more things so we can sell you some more pills. I'm still there. I carry a bag of pills around. I'm getting rid of some of them. Other than that, my heart was in fine shape. That was nice to find out. But I want to tell you something. There were days, Pat can tell you, I was a desperate man. I was sick. I was so sick that I couldn't do anything. I was so sick some days that I couldn't pray. I remember looking up one day and saying, God, I want to pray, but I got nothing. I was that desperately sick. But I want to tell you what overwhelmed me was the fact that I had so many people praying for me. It was like God said, don't worry about it. They all got you. I had people in this church, I had people in Delaware, I had people in other states. I had one couple came to the house just to pray over me. I'm still blown away by that. And while I was going through it, you know, hey, look, I want this instant stuff. Oh, God, take it away. But when I realized that wasn't going to happen, I started talking to him, and I said, well, Lord, then if you're allowing me to go through this, I'm going to cling on, like somebody said this morning. Mike said, I'm going to hang on. I'm hanging on to the hem of your garment. I'm going to hang on. That's about all I got, but I'm hanging on. I went down a path after that I'm going to share this with you because you might think I'm just a kook. You might think my mind's run away of myself, but I started hearing things. That's the next part of sickness, by the way, is your mind will start to work on you. But I started getting thoughts, and I didn't think they were my thoughts. I knew they weren't my thoughts. They were thoughts that were coming from somewhere. The first one was, he ain't up there. He ain't listening to you. You know, all this time you've been practicing this faith. Why isn't it working for you? See, somebody wanted me to doubt, and I refused. Then I started having thoughts that I wasn't coming home because I had to go for an outpatient procedure called a cardioversion. That's where they put the jumper cables on you and stop your heart and start you all over again. Sounds real scary. Actually, it was kind of a neat little nap. But I started having these thoughts, and I couldn't get rid of them. And I shared a little bit with Pat, didn't want to scare her, but, you know, only one of two things can happen when you're having thoughts like that. Either God's trying to prepare you for something he's about ready to do, or somebody else is trying to scare you. And it didn't sound like God to me, but it says test the spirits. So I started looking at my friends and my family and thinking, this might be the last time I ever see them. That's scary. And I couldn't shake it. I'd turn the radio and there'd be a song about some guy 65 going to die. True story. This stuff was coming from everywhere. And I kept saying, Lord, if I'm going through this thing, why? Don't let me miss the teaching. You must be trying to show me something. You must be trying to teach me something. Ended up teaching me a couple of different things. But here was the one that I had to come to grips with. Do you really trust me? But you got to trust me with your very life. Oh, You see, I got a plan. I got things I want to do. I got a future. I got stuff, man. See, same thing I'm talking about. We all got the plan. So I finally got to a point where I prayed and I said, Lord, okay, it's all right. You know, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. My desires is this. I want to be with my family to support them and help them, watch my grandchildren grow up. I want to be here at Island Alliance Church with my church family. This is what I want, Lord. But you know what, Lord? You want to take me home, that's your decision. And I went to the hospital. It started the night before. I had an absolute total peace. I went into the hospital. Never had a bit of anxiety. Never thought twice about whether I was going to wake up or not wake up. Poor girl was trying to put an IV in my arm. Was having a real difficult time with it. And I was looking up at her and I said, you know, you look more concerned than I do. I was trying to lighten the load on her. I had this amazing peace. I know where that came from. You see, what I'm telling you is, we've got to experience some difficult things in life. We've got to walk through some things in life. But we've got to learn to lay it all down and trust Him, because that's where it is. That's the relationship. That's the personal thing that you and I need to do with our risen Lord and Savior, because He's real. He wants to be involved in your everyday life. He wants to be involved in your decisions. We don't get instant answers all the time. And that's where, you see, we live, we believe our faith because of our experiences, and our experiences aren't even all alike. We're trying to make Christianity up by what we experience instead of experiencing what we believe. We got it backwards. Believe it, even though you don't see it, that's called faith. And this is what we need to do. So we have to find our life, and this is the way we find it. We lay it all down. Say, no matter what, Lord, no matter what you want to take, no matter what you want to do, no matter what you want to change, I'm in. And we do this by a process that we have to do, because it's a presentation. We have to present ourselves to a holy God. And we say, well, how do you do that? You do it every day. You do it on your knees. You do it sitting in a chair if you want to. It's not legalism we're looking for. We do it by being in the Word, by meditating on the thoughts, taking every thought captive. Every time something comes into our head that we're wondering about that, what do you say about that, Lord? Lead me, Lord. And trust Him to do that. Let it go. Take that thing that you want more than anything else and say, Lord, you can have it. If that's what you want, you can have it. Give it up. He might give it right back to you. But we have to trust Him completely in order to do this. And so when you present yourselves, you do it in all things, everything. You know, this is going to sound legalistic, but you know what? Church starts at 10:30. Get here a little early and pray. I want to come in and worship a holy God. Not come in and give Him my leftovers. I was dragging a little bit this morning. Thought I'd come in here 10, 15 minutes later. I'll come in every week, the third song, because, you know, Jeff ain't that good. Amen. Sometimes forming a righteous habit spiritually will seem like legalism to you, because you're going to force yourself a little. You're going to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to say, I'm going to do this thing, Lord, see what you want to do with it. I'll take a step towards you. He'll show up. It's not about legalism. You'll start to be here early because you want to be. You'll start to be here because you can't wait to see Him. You can't wait to worship Him. You can't wait for the praise team to get up here. It gets real. You can't wait to see your brothers and sisters. It comes alive. But it doesn't come alive unless you and I make a willful decision to drive a stake in the ground and say, today is the day. You see, I want to challenge you this morning. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. I want to... That really didn't work well, did it? I want to drive a stake in the ground this morning for Island Alliance Church. Forget everybody else. Forget all the other churches. Forget all the other countries and communities and theologies. And this is what we're responsible for, is right here. I want Pastor Tom to come back here and find a different church, a better church. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Not saying that you're terrible, not saying that you're bad, but we can all be better. Why don't we all be here early next week just to show you how much we love Him? Say, we want to hear what you got to say. We're going to grab something and we're going to run with it this week, and we're going to take what you preach to us, and we're going to talk to God over it, and we're going to see how it impacts our lives. Why not drive a stake in the ground today? Because if we don't do it today, you won't do it next week, and you won't do it next month, and this place won't change, and we won't impact the community. Because that's the call. I've shown you enough scripture, and I could go on for the next 5 hours and show you more scripture. But Jesus set the standard, and Jesus wants to make that standard happen for you. You cannot do it, because nothing works. And John, I skipped the best verse of the whole deal. John 14. Oh, wrong one. Well, 15:5. Yes, yes. I'm the branch of your divines. Apart from me, I got it backwards too, didn't I? I'm going to roll. I'm going to stay here till 1 o'clock. Hey, look, he said, apart from me. What can you do? Jesus said, nothing, because nothing works. I know we're running a little long. We had a lot to do today, but I'm going to open up the front this morning. If you're here this morning and God has touched your heart, He's shown you something. He's waking you up just a little bit, or you want to take a next step. Maybe you're a good, holy person. You're sanctified, but you still want to grow deeper. We're going to open the front. I'm going to ask the elders to come and those who want to pray. If you have to leave, it's fine. Understand. But I don't want to skip this moment because this is an important moment in the history of our church. It's an important moment in your life. So if you want prayer this morning, you want somebody to pray with you, please come forward. And you can start coming now. For those of you in your seats, you just want to hang there for a little bit, just for a few minutes, you can pray there. But we're going to open it up right now. We thank you. And I just want to close us in a real quick prayer. Father God, I've done the best I know how to do. But Lord, it's not me. It's you. This is your word. This is your gospel. This is your church. These are your people. Pastor Tom's your man. I just ask that you pour out a blessing on Island Alliance Church this morning. That you free people up in their hearts and their minds to say, Lord, I want you. I'm not so busy that I don't have time for you. I want you. I want you to be Lord of my life. Help us to rededicate this church and rededicate ourselves to you this morning. We just ask it in your holy and precious name. Amen. else needs prayer, we're still up here, but you're free to go. We'll dismiss the service, but we're here if you need us. You want to talk to us, you want to pray. But in the meantime, thank you for coming. Have a blessed day.